There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission. One message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm your announcer, Bob Bierman, sitting in for Rick Wiles. Rick is currently in Branson, Missouri to tape an upcoming appearance on The Jim Baker Show. He will be returning to our broadcast studio on Thursday. In the meantime, Rick has asked his friend Steven in Boquete, Panama, to host the program today with the theme, Leaving to Go with a Purpose. Has God called us merely to leave or to go with His purpose in mind? Stephen from Panama and Dr. Daniel Daves guest host True News with a powerful two-part series as they interview two men who God has recently called to go through prophetic dreams and visions. And now, here is Stephen.
This is Stephen from Panama, and I'm here to co-host True News today with my friend, Dr. Daniel Daves.
God bless you, sir. Good to be here.
And we're here in Panama. And we're going to have a very interesting and an invigorating program today. Amen. We have in the studio with us today a couple of newbies to Panama. They're spying out the land, and the Lord has called them out for a purpose. And we have John from Indiana.
Hello.
And John was on my radio program with Strength for the Journey. I host a radio program for True News Flowing Streams called Strength for the Journey. And John was on program number 71 that we just did. Just to go back, I have a website called Strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and Dr. Daniel Daves has a website, drdanieldaves.com. And so we just want to encourage people today with the message that the Lord is going to bring. And I also have in the studio today Eric, a new good friend from Eric from Montana as well. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Stephen. It's great to be here. Me and my wife are really excited to see what God is doing.
Yes. And we are here in the studio of Dr. Daniel Dave's office, and he has a studio that we're just putting together. And Dr. Daniel Daves, this is really exciting to have this opportunity, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, we have so many people that are hearing the call of God. And they're coming up the mountain to Boquete, this nice, cool environment. It's just blowing my mind because every week it seems like a new wave of people are coming up. And one thing they have in common, they're all hearing from the Holy Spirit that they need to move forward into their calling and into their ministries, into business, things like that. It's exciting.
It is, and it's really exciting because it's not people that are just running away from what they see is coming, but they're running to what the Lord is doing.
Amen.
And this is what God is calling all of us to right now. He's calling us with purpose and for a purpose. And the scripture that came to my mind yesterday was in Exodus when Moses was declaring the word of the Lord to Pharaoh, and he said, "Let my people go that they might serve me." And this is the theme I believe that the Holy Spirit's saying right now is that we're leaving with purpose, and the purpose is to serve the Lord and to do whatever He's called us to do. And it's like, what is it going to take us all to get to that point that we'll do whatever God tells us to do? And sometimes it takes Pharaoh's army on our backside to get us through that wall of water in front of us. And this is what really many people are seeing in front of them right now. Is they're seeing obstacles that are beyond their wildest imagination of how they're going to get through this thing. It's like that wall of water of the Red Sea. And the Lord just saying, just watch and you see the salvation of the Lord. You just have to trust Him enough and realize that, you know, if we need Pharaoh's army on our backside to get through that wall of water, well, praise God, that's what it takes. But God's calling us forward now. And John, you have recently just come here and you have a very interesting story of preparation like me. We have kind of gone through that preparation phase. You know what it was for me? It was just a wake-up call to roll out of bed. And I think many of us went back to sleep after nothing happened. And the Lord kind of rang our bell maybe back around 2008, 2009. Something's changing. Maybe some of these things that we thought were going to happen are now beginning to happen. But tell us a little bit about your story, because it's really a fascinating story how the Lord has led you to where you are right now.
Sure. Well, in 2009, my wife and I and our five children relocated from Nashville, Tennessee to northern Indiana. And we went there initially. You know, many are the plans in a man's heart, Proverbs 19:21, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. And we moved there to take care of elderly parents, but pretty immediately began having prophetic dreams. And to date, I've had 14 prophetic dreams about judgment and destruction coming on America. Our children began having dreams. Three or four of our children have had prophetic dreams, even visitations. Our son, who's now 16, angelic visitations. And the Lord, the word from the Lord was, I've chosen you to be end time Josephs, and I know a lot of people are getting that same word, and I want you to prepare physically for what's coming physically and spiritually, but be prepared physically so you can help people spiritually. And if you're not prepared physically, you will become part of the problem instead of part of the solution. And I want you to be part of the solution when the problem comes and be ready, you know. So we began faithfully answering that call, and, you know, the term we all know, prepping, but we had a lot of people making fun of us, and all of us have experienced that and saying, you know, you're an alarmist and you don't have faith. And thankfully, the Lord in his faithfulness gave us patience with those people and a lot of biblical mandate. Joseph, you know, it's a great biblical mandate. God gave him 7 years to prepare. And, you know, the first year, people probably, okay, and the second year and the third year and the fourth year and the fifth, you know, is anything going to happen? Yeah, it's going to be so bad that I got to give you that many years to prepare. And we were also prepared, and we had a death in our family. I won't go into the details of that now, but literally a martyrdom in our family here in America, and that happened about 16 years ago and prepared our family and our children for the understanding of the brevity of the true Christian call, not a call to comfort, but a call to sacrifice. And so we had discussed with our children, and of course, God, the Holy Spirit, had discussed with our children through dreams that this is coming on America. And you know, I think everybody that was waking up, we were all praying and fasting and repenting and trying to get our homes in order and our families, and we were hoping that God would stay that judgment. And I think a lot of people believe, because we were getting a lot of indication that it was going to come in 2012. And now I've heard that over and over from many brothers and sisters in Christ, that it felt like because of the repentance, because of the preparation, there was enough people waking up that God stayed that judgment for a few more years, but that now, you know, 2015, 16, it's kind of inevitable. So with that said, we were ready to die in Indiana and had put in wells and gotten wood stoves. And I was sharing with you guys before we went on the air, but, you know, we live in the city in our town, three blocks from the courthouse, and I plowed up half my backyard and turned it into an organic garden. I've got 15 chickens in my backyard. We're the Beverly Hillbillies of our town, and we're ready to die there, you know, and hunker down there and serve the body, serve our city. But then this past October, the Lord woke me up one night and said, you're released. And I said, released from what? And the Lord said, you're released from here. You're released from the burden. The Lord had also given me a burden over that 5-6 years. There's some 30 congregations in our city, you know, multiple denominations. And the Lord also, in 2009, when we began prepping, said, I want you to meet with all the pastors that will meet with you. And I want you to impress on their hearts 1 Corinthians 12:12, that we are a body, and with what's coming, we've got to be a body. We cannot be a hand over here crawling along by itself, a foot over here hopping along by itself, a liver over there quivering. We've got to come together, or we will not survive what's coming. We've got to be the body of Christ in our town. And so I'd worked very hard, my wife and I, diligently at having pastors in our home, and going to lunch with pastors and working on that. And I was really kind of offended at the Lord, to be honest, and the Lord knows, so I'll say it out loud, when he said, "You're done." And I'm like, "I'm done. And this is my identity. And this, we put all this energy and time into this." And he said, "Well, you're moving south. You're getting out of here. You've done what I've told you to do. Well done, good and faithful servant. And now I'm going to release you and your family." And we were thinking down back to North Carolina or Tennessee, out in the mountains somewhere by a stream in the woods. And the Lord said, "You're going a little further south. You're going to Boquete, Panama." And that's a whole other story, how the Lord led us to Boquete. But thank you, Rick Wiles and Daniel Daves. And that's what the Lord used to open our eyes, was listening to you guys on True News and speaking about Panama from this very table. And now I'm sitting at it. It's very odd.
One thing I find very interesting is that, you know, many people have been trying to make ministry happen and make something come together. And it just, it's like, and I describe it like you're a piece of puzzle on the wrong table. Mm. That once you get on the right table, and that table could be a different country, once you get on that right table, then all the other pieces begin to fall in place for you. And I mean, who would have thought you guys just coming here for a you know, exploratory visit would end up being interviewed.
Or end up like it did in that church service yesterday morning or last night under that cabana with the body of Christ being the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Like, unlike anything I've participated in years.
Amen.
And I'm in church services. We have people that are actually pursuing
the will of God. You know, it says that we'll never, I believe that we'll never find the will of God. It says, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom, but he that does the will of my Father. And if you think about it, you'll never do the will of a father until you pursue the will of the Father. It's not going to fall on you. You have to pursue it. And this is, comes from your heart. You have to be passionate about desiring to do what God wants us to do. And once you get to that place in your heart, then everything begins to fall into place. And I believe, you know, part of the thing that I cried out for was when I came here 3 years ago, nearly now, you know, I was sitting there going, you know, "God, I don't know anybody. I don't know the language. I'm just absolutely desperate." I said, "If you don't feed me, I'm going to die." And he said, "Well, good. Now you're where I want you." You know, he wants us to get to that place where we're finally desperate for him, that if he doesn't feed us, if he doesn't lead us and guide us, we're going to die. And he goes, "Oh, now I can lead you because now you're finally dependent on me and not your stuff." Because honestly, my Y2K storage and my location was my God in many ways, because I depended on that more than I did on the Lord. And I think
I've thought about that with Elijah. It's always a funny story to me that God's feeding him miraculously, which is amazing, with a raven and a brook. And then that dries up. And okay, what's next, God? "I'm sending you a widow lady who has nothing, that says, what little I have, I'm going to eat and die." I'm like, maybe I went to the wrong widow, God. And like, no, but it's exactly what you said. I sent you to an impossibility for you and her, but a huge possibility if you'll obey me with what you've got.
That's right.
And multiply it.
Well, Dan, share a little bit about, you know, something that's very, very important. As many people feel like, "I don't have what I need to be able to do or be able to go where maybe God wants me to go." And you have something very interesting that you've shared, that, you know, it's like what's in your hand. John and I were talking about this a few moments ago. Is there's a lot that we already have in our hand, but we just don't realize how much we have already.
Yeah, that's right. And based on the day that the Israelites and Moses were crunched up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army is bearing down, it was another one of those pressure points that come all through the Bible. Whenever pressure comes and whenever the enemy comes in, that always releases the kingdom of God. And it actually puts us in position where we can hear from God. Well, and actually, you become more willing to step out in faith when the enemy's coming down on you. You know, I mean, it's either we step out in faith or die. Sometimes we creatures of comfort get in the flesh, and we don't want to step out in faith. It's too easy. A rich man can afford to just live a good life. He doesn't have to obey God. But once all the stuff is gone and you have a do or die situation, then the kingdom of God is released through your faith. So Moses is up against the Red Sea. All these people, they're unarmed. They haven't fought a battle in 400 years, so they don't know anything about self-defense or warfare. And here comes Pharaoh's army on horses with swords and bows and arrows, all of that. And Moses said, what do I do, God? What do I do? And God's answer to him was a question. What do you have in your hand? And so that's the question I ask people. What do you have in your hand? That's what God will use to split the Red Sea. It's what you have. Well, Moses had a staff, and that's what, and that's all he had as a shepherd when God called him. And God said, I will use that staff, and I will anoint that staff. I'll turn it into whatever it has to become to get the job done. Just use it and point it where I tell you to. Touch the sea when I tell you to. So God once again says, okay, you've used this staff, and it brought these people all the way out to the Red Sea. Don't stop using your gift. So what do you have in your hand? Oh, yeah, I've got this. This is a new day. You're going to use your gift in a brand new way. You've always had it. You've always used it. But now I want you to hold it up. You know, and I will work through that gift. I believe for each and every one of us, we all have gifts, callings, we have talents, we have things in our hand that, and we get so used to looking out saying, well, I could never do this. Oh, yes, you could if God anointed your staff.
Amen.
You absolutely can. So I think that each one of us need to take a recounting. You know, we need to recount or recollect or do an accounting term and sit down and figure out, who am I? What am I called to do? What am I good at? Because what you're good at, I guarantee you, the rest of this world is begging for you to come and tell them what you know. Whether it's a language skill, or can you build a building? Can you build a bridge that won't fall down? Can you build a house straight? Can you help a student learn English? What can you do? I think if we will really step back and recount who we really are and what God's blessed us with, you'll find that you have plenty in your hand to get that Red Sea opened.
That's right. Eric, I want you to share a little bit.
Yeah, I just want to tail off what Daniel Davis is saying, too, is that sometimes God will not show you everything that he has for your life or all the abilities and the talents. Sometimes he's asking you to take that step of obedience from the first things he's shown you in your life. And as you step out, just like the Israelites stepped out to the Red Sea, they had no clue how they were going to get through that Red Sea. God came through, and that's what God is doing for many people right now. As you're stepping out in obedience, God will do a mighty miracle on your behalf in finances, in your talents and abilities. God will show what it is needed in your life. So
that's right. That's right. And this is where the element of trust has to be mixed with your faith. You have to step out. There's an element of obedience that has to be walked out. You can say that you trust God, but the real rubber, if it's going to meet the road, is when you actually follow through with what you say you believe.
Amen.
And didn't Jesus say that in the parable? There was a servant that said, I'll go do this, and didn't, and one that said he wouldn't and did, and which one did the will of the Father?
Exactly right. There's the one that did the will was the one that was said, I repented,
yeah,
you know, and did it. And I think this is what God is calling us to right now, is we have to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for not doing your will. I'm sorry for living for myself. I've been seeking my own pleasure instead of your pleasure. I want to change that now. I want to do what you want me to do. And he's just looking for a willing vessel. That's all. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's Panama, if it's someplace else. It's wherever it is that God's called you to go. And God is calling out people right now to the nations. Amen. And Daniel, you and I have talked about this quite a bit, right?
Yes.
You know, lately, is that this is where the harvest field is. It's not in your nest. The harvest field is not in your nest. You have to jump the nest, sprout your wings, and fly. And because many people are literally going to die in their nest.
Amen.
Because they will not leave their nest. So God's saying it's time to trust me enough that you can jump and I'll carry you. This is the word I believe the Lord's saying now is it's time to jump. Yeah. I have a website, it's called Strength for the Journey. And this dream I had one time, I wrote an article, it's called Jump, I'll Catch You. It's under a tab called Articles. But in this dream, I had this train had gone off the edge of a cliff, and it was hanging there just like it just was getting ready to fall. And everybody's screaming, and it's like, you know, in this dream, you're like kind of expecting for Spider-Man to come out and now rescue this train. But I was in a dream. I said, there is no hope for this train. And I heard the words, jump, I'll catch you. And what I realized what the Lord is saying is that you're in an impossible situation. It looks like sheer doom. But if you'll just jump into my arms, I'll catch you. And this is where the element of trust is, Lord, I trust you enough to jump into your arms. And this is where God wants us to go. Eric, I want you to tell a little bit about your story, about, you know, you're from Montana, you're a fellow prepper. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah. Stephen, you know, you and I kind of have a lot of the same background. We're both from Montana, and we both had gone there because of the things that we had seen. And my story actually goes back to around 2003 when I started waking up and seeing where the United States was headed. And my father and I were actually praying, and I have to give credit to my father. He gave me a great heritage, prophetic heritage. And I want to encourage families to actually to understand and to see the prophetic heritage as God has given you. Don't discount that. And the prophetic heritage was in 2003. We were praying together, and he had a vision, and we had been praying for about an hour or so, and he saw a pyramid coming down. And in that pyramid, there was people trying to get out, people trying to get up ladders, people trying. They saw the capstone coming down on the pyramid, and they said, oh, man, we've got to get out of here. But there were people inside the pyramid trying to pull them back down, trying to bring them back inside. And what the Lord was saying to him was that there was great change coming to the United States and also persecution. The way of life in America would no longer be the same. And then in 2008, I had been working in a mortgage business. I had been actually had that for 13 years.
Real quickly, I want to go back to what happened at the end of that dream, because I think it's very prophetic.
All right.
In a sense, because as they're trying to climb out,
yes,
something happened to seal the deal.
Yes. It was very profound and very disconcerting. And as they were trying to climb out, there was two things happening. People were ripping them off and saying, you cannot leave. You cannot leave this place, and ripping the ladders away and pulling them down as they were screaming. It was quite traumatic for my dad to see it. And finally, some people got out, but most were trapped inside, and the capstone came down on the pyramid. And that capstone was representative of the United States and where the United States is headed. And what he had felt in his heart is that there's a day coming that the door will close, the time will cease, and where you're at and what you're doing, you will be trapped there. You won't be able to make a move. So if God is speaking in your heart, God is telling you, you need to be repositioned. Now is the time to be obedient. Do not delay.
Do not delay, because time, every grain of sand that falls through that hourglass is precious. It can never be replaced back into that hourglass.
Right. And our comfort zone will cause delay in our life, and we don't even realize it. And time is precious. We're in the end times, and God wants to take us up to a new level where we realize that the time we have for him is precious. And so we need to take each day before him and say, what is the priority, God, of what you're wanting me to do?
That's right.
And
so continue with the next dream.
Yeah. So in 2008, the Lord had brought me together. It's a whole separate story. And I married a wonderful woman from Finland. And we got married, of all days, on the Shemitah. Yeah. So what a day. We had no realization of what we were going to. We didn't even understand anything that Jonathan Kahn has brought out about the Shemitah, that sort of thing. And we went on our honeymoon, and I was a mortgage broker, as I was previously alluding to. And my entire book of business, I had about $25,000, was sucked down the drain and completely disappeared by the time we came back from our honeymoon. So we were completely broke, couldn't even afford to pay my payroll for my employees. I had to lay my secretary off. We went into a whole new dimension. We ended up struggling, and God, through that struggle, God started speaking to me of a new day in my life, that the picture I have for your life is not to be a mortgage broker. You have a call. There's something inside of you that I want to stir up and bring out in your life. And so we had a lot of different things that the Lord started bringing to us over the years. And I'd say around 2010, we decided we're going to go build a house. We're going to get prepared. We see these difficult times coming. We're going to go prep.
And I did not have the complete picture. So me and my wife, we went into the woods. We built a beautiful house in the middle of the woods in Montana, off the grid. She put a garden in. We did all the stuff you're supposed to do. We had the ideal location. We had everything. And we worked hard and worked extremely hard putting this whole thing together. And what was the interesting thing, and when we were all done, we looked at each other and said, "Now what? Now what, God?" And God started speaking in our hearts and saying, "Yeah, now what?" And we started praying because we knew that we weren't in the full will of God. We were prepped in the natural. We had done everything in the natural to get prepared in a physical response to what we saw coming, but we had not prepared spiritually. And so as God started working in our hearts, we had an epiphany this last Thanksgiving. You know how God sometimes will connect all the dots and bring everything together in your life? Yeah. That's what happened to us. We had an epiphany. We realized that, yes, it's important, like Joseph did, like Noah did, to prepare in the natural. But if you're doing that just for yourself, you're not seeing the heart of God. You're not accomplishing and doing what God wants for your life. So we actually humbled ourselves and said, "God, what is it that you want us to do? Father, forgive us for being so selfish to just do what we want to do and get ourselves all prepared here, and we're not doing anything for your kingdom." And the Lord started bringing parables to us and different things of what his heart is for his people, that we be activated into his kingdom to do a work for his purposes in the earth, you know, to be involved in his body, to do what he wants to have done in the last days, not to hide off on the mountain. And that's what the Lord showed us, is that we were hiding. And God doesn't want you to hide. And I have to say this to people out there. It's good to get prepared, but are you hiding? And that's a great question that each of us has to ask ourselves, because God has a call in your life. Just like Dr. Danley was saying, you have something in your hand for the body of Christ. You have something in your hand that this world needs. And hiding is going to hide that talent and that gift. And just like the parable of the man who went and dug his talent into the ground, we can all get into that place and realize at the end of our life, wait a minute, God had something way over here and I never saw it. So,
that's interesting. You know,
that's powerful.
I was thinking too that, you know, you were obedient, and there's everybody in this room right here, has been obedient to that call that God said to prepare. And then he said, "Now leave your preparation."
Right.
And you realize, look, I just prepared for somebody else. You know, this is 11th hour and 59 minutes, and we're getting closer. And many times, there's many people that are going, I believe that the Lord showed me this morning that there's many people that are repenting right now, but they don't have time to prepare as we did all these years. So now that we're leaving our preparation for somebody else that didn't have time to prepare, but their heart is prepared now. So God is going to supernaturally provide for them in ways. And I just, you know, because obviously, just like me, when I left, you know, I gave my food away, my stuff, you know, I mean, it was for somebody else. But it's like my calling was greater than hanging on to my stuff. I knew God was saying, leave.
Amen.
I've got something else for you. But I had to be willing to trust God enough to leave my comfort and leave my preparation to go where he wanted me to go. That was not very comfortable, because actually, honestly, all of us, we're just trying to extend our comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I'm finding this doesn't work in the kingdom of God. There is no place of comfort. Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And guess what I've kind of foreseen is that, look, if we're following him, it may be a similar situation for us. May not be always comfort and safety, you know, but we have to pursue God's will.
Amen. And I thought I would say, too, for those who maybe have been told, "Oh, you're a prepper. Oh, you're a doom and gloom." I want to respond that biblically, we are commanded by God to prep.
Yes.
By God's word, we are commanded to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 says, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He's calling us, not asking. He says, "Join me in preparation." And here's the problem, I think, is that the church has lost its forward advancing mode. Mm-hmm. And so whenever you advance, my father was in the military. He told me military doesn't have plan B. They have plan C, D, and E. So when you are moving forward as a good soldier for Jesus Christ, you have to have plan B, C, D, E, all the way down. So the bottom line is this. If we are going to be good soldiers for Christ, we need to have, and if we're going to move forward, you have to have multiple plans of attack in how you're going to move forward. And I think that's a prerequisite for anyone in this day. Today, we have just left, I believe, the old wineskin mm-hmm. of the what I call the Pope, President, Pastor, priest mentality. One single leader up in the top. We all sit back and listen to him, and wherever he's going, he's driving the bus, and we're all just going to go with him. This is an apostolic hour, and only apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers moving together can actually send you. And so this is a day where we're finding out here in Panama, people are saying all the time, they're saying, why is this so awesome out here? I'm feeling the power of God out here in our church services like I've never felt in the United States. My response is because everyone here has paid a price. Everyone here has crossed through a gate and they obeyed God and they got out in faith and they used their staff and the Red Sea parted for them. We all have something really in common here. And we're moving forward. We're not running away from anything. We're here. I see this area and many others in the world as trampolines. God's moving us out, connecting us, and then to trampoline us to the nations of the world.
Yes, this is like a training center.
Amen.
You know, it's obedience training. And the Lord gave me a word here when we first got here that, you know, this is a place of obedience. And it's a school for the obedient. And if you aren't willing to learn with those in the school for the obedient, you'll be removed and taken back to the school for the disobedient. And that's what America was going to become, was the school for the disobedient and rebellious of heart. So if you want to be promoted, in a sense, you have to turn your heart. It has to turn to a repentant heart, one that is willing to obey, that you recognize that you've been disobedient in the calling and your purpose. You've been selfish in your motives. And God's saying, you know what? You've not loved your neighbor as yourself. You've loved yourself more than your neighbor. In fact, you haven't even loved your neighbor as yourself. You probably don't even know your neighbor. And God's saying, look, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you want your own salvation. Well, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you want your salvation of your neighbor just as much as you do your own? Well, if you don't want the salvation of your neighbor as much as you do your own salvation, maybe you don't love your neighbor as much as yourself. And God's really refining all of us right now, and He's going down to the very core of our being. What motivates us? What makes us tick? Amen. And so this is the challenge that all of us have right now is, are we willing to obey and do whatever God says? And if we are, He'll send us to the nations. He'll send us anywhere. But He's just saying there's people. You've been skilled. You've been given gifts and abilities and talents. Well, Daniel's saying, and now I'm ready to promote you. I'm ready to send you because you have paid the price. In fact, when I was preaching just the night or the day, the Sunday before we left to come to finally move to Panama, I was preaching. And as I was preaching, the Lord had a vision of myself in His hand, and it was a dandelion seed. And I saw Him, I was in His hand, and He went, now you're ready to be sent. And He blew into His hand. And He sent me like a mature seed that I was ready to go, that I had turned my heart toward Him and I was willing to obey. And that's what He wants us to do. Will we come to that? Are we just want to be this beautiful little flower and just look real pretty? Are we willing to die and become that seed that as a flower becomes? Then the Lord can plant us and transplant us. And this is where the Lord's looking for. Are you willing to quit looking pretty and just die? And lay it all down.
That dead dandelion is only good for one thing, and that's to have the seed blown to multiply.
That's right.
So we like to look pretty, don't we? But there comes a day, unless a man loses his life.
That's right.
Yeah, amen. Picks up his cross and follows Jesus. Unless the seed falls into the ground and dies, it will abide alone. But if we're willing to die, then the multiplication can come.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, John, you've had a number of prophetic dreams through the years, starting about 2008, I believe. You said 2007.
2009.
And, you know, sometimes these dreams are just nothing more than wake-up calls. There's something that you didn't have any ability to conjure up. It's something that only happened in your vulnerable time of sleeping and you're disturbed in your dreams. And you've mentioned a couple of your dreams that you've had, but I want you to share, because my biggest concern is that people are still sleeping during the time that need to be rolling out of bed. And sometimes a dream, a prophetic dream, can have the effect of an alarm bell, because you don't want to have that shock of being woken up like a can of firecrackers next to your bed, you know, that you wake up in total panic. The Lord's nudging people right now on their bedside right now, if they're still in that in the bed mode, and he's saying, it's time to roll out of bed. I have something for you to do, but you can't do what I've called you to do laying in bed. But just share a little bit some of the dreams that have been on your, you know, that maybe come to your mind that
in 2011, I've had a prophetic number, and some people understand that. And since I was a little boy, 44 has been my prophetic number, or 444. On 4-4-11 at 4:44 in the morning, let's back up it. On 4-3-11 at 10:30 at night, I went to bed, and the Lord had been, you know, for a couple years now, really getting us out of our American comfortable lifestyle and into this whole transition of where we're going. Well, I was heavy with it that night on 4-3, April 3rd, and went to bed praying, asking the Lord, Lord, please give me a dream tonight, or show me something to help me prepare and get on your track. So I went to bed that night. I was awakened at 4:44 in the morning on 4-4-11 by the sound of our young daughter screaming and crying down the hall as if she was, and I assumed she was having a nightmare. And she's our fifth child, so if it had been our first, I'd have jumped up and run down there and gotten her. But I know from experience she's going to jump up and come get in bed with us. So I leaned back in the bed and closed my eyes, and I did think, it's funny. Of course it's 4:44 in the morning when I saw the clock on our dresser. And the next thing I feel, hearing no more noise, the crying quit, I feel a hand poke me very strongly in my left jugular. I'm laying there in bed, and it startled me, and I think instantaneously, I didn't even hear her come down the hall, and I open my eyes, and there's no one there. And I clearly felt someone take their index finger and poke me hard in my left jugular. And I look at Debbie, my wife, and she's asleep, and there's a closet there to my left, and the hair stands up on my head, neck, and I'm ready to punch somebody, and I jump up and pull my light chain, and there's no one in the closet, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? And our daughter's not crying. I start out the doorway of our bedroom to go check on our daughter. I literally get frozen in our doorway by some type of spiritual entity, vortex, I don't know what to call it, and I felt this instant eerie physical and spiritual calm before the storm. And I whispered it under my breath, what is this calm before the storm? And then it kind of released me. I walked down the hall to my daughter's room. She's peacefully sleeping. Sweet countenance, had not been crying or screaming. I'm like, what is going on, God? And instantly the Lord reminded me, remember last night you prayed for a visitation. This is your visitation. Listen. So I said, okay. And I walk out and start back to my bedroom. Instantly, lightning strikes maybe 3 miles from our house and lights up all through the windows. Within 3 seconds, it rattled the house. That's how close it was, and just shook the house with thunder, rain instantly, and wind against the side of the house. I think, Lord, you're going to kill me. What's going on? Is this real? Is this a dream? Is it both? And I walk into my bedroom, and my wife's sitting up in the bed. The thunder woke her up. And she said, what's going on? I said, I don't know what's going on. I think the Lord's coming back. I sat down on the end of the bed, and I said, the weirdest things. I said, I prayed last night for a visitation. I said, I just heard our daughter crying. It woke me up. It was 4:44 on the clock. And then the Lord says, what's today, son? What's the date? And I had the thing. I thought, it's 4:11. And the Lord began to speak, and he said, I sent an angel to poke you in the neck. And he said, the left side in dreams represents physical. The right side represents spiritual. The jugular, obviously, is our lifeline in life and death. He said, and that was our youngest child, our youngest daughter. She was 7 years old at the time. He said, you heard her screaming and crying. She represents the screams and the cries of the people that are going to be coming to you, literally tapping you for life itself. that are going to be coming to you and your wife. I want you to get ready because people are going to be helpless and hopeless. He said these exact words. He said, the storm is coming hard and it's coming fast. And I mean, right then there's more thunder, more lightning, rain coming sideways against our house. I sent an angel to wake you up so she wasn't actually crying. The lightning and thunder and storm was actually happening. So we prayed and said, all right, Lord, prepare us, and went back to sleep. Woke up about 6:45 in the morning, went down to get the kids ready for school. Our son Joseph comes down the stairs and into the kitchen, and he goes, did you hear that thunder last night? And I said, yeah, it was crazy. It shook the house. Did it wake you up? And he goes, no, Dad, it was the weirdest thing. I woke up wide awake in my bed right before it happened and had this weird feeling of the calm before the storm. And I went, what? And my wife was cooking eggs, and she turned around and said, what did you just say? He said, I woke up right before it happened, wide awake, and felt this weird calm before the storm. And so fast forward, and you said something, Daniel Daves, to me that confirmed this next part of this dream since I've been on this trip, and I'll explain it. I'll try to be quick here, and I'm taking a lot of time, but the Lord was preparing us to get ready and get out of our normal mindset and telling us this storm's coming fast. He's telling our children he wants us to get ready to help people that are going to be utterly helpless. Fast forward 1 year, we have a friend, Israel Anarayobi, from Africa, who just happens to be visiting a year later and had been doing meetings in our town. We were hosting him, taking him into the airport on 4/4/12. And his flight's at 6 in the morning out of Chicago, so we have to leave at like 1 in the morning. We're driving along, but none of this is registered yet until I'm driving along. The Holy Spirit says, look at your clock on the Suburban, and I look, and it's 4:44. And the Lord says, and what's today? And I'm due the date is 4/4/12 at 4:44 in the morning. And I hadn't been up at 4:44 in the morning ever in my life, maybe except the year before when the Lord visits us. And I went, wow. And he goes, what is it, brother? And I said, oh, you're not going to believe this. Tell me, and I will believe it. And I told him, and he goes, the Lord's trying to speak to you. What have you gotten done in 1 year is already gone, boop, like that. Are you ready? And I'm like, no. And I first couldn't believe that. So I failed to add this important part. We had gotten a membership to the Science Museum in Chicago for our kids to visit, and we lived 2 hours from Chicago. And when I knew I had to take Israel Anarayobi to the airport, I thought, I'll take the kids and get them out of school and take a field trip and good excuse for them to be out of school. And they loved the idea. So I'd gotten them up at midnight and gotten Debbie's approval because it was kind of educational, threw their pillows and blankets in the car, and they all went to sleep. And we dropped Israel off at the at O'Hare, and the kids all sleeping. And I drove to the Science Museum, and it was by then still this like 6:30 in the morning, and it doesn't open until 9. So I had brought a pillow and blanket and just parked in the parking lot, put my seat back, went to sleep. At 6:44 in the morning, our son Joseph, who chose to be all the way in the back of the Suburban, back in the back, wakes up, and this really happened. He was screaming, crying, woke all my kids up, woke me up. He couldn't even talk. I'm like, I thought somebody was breaking in the car. So I'm like, what's wrong? You know, it comes up over all the seats, up into my arms. She's 13-year-old, big old boy at the time, sobbing, crying. I'm like, what is freaking me out about? So he's not bleeding him. And finally, when he could take a breath, he said, I had a horrible dream. He said, America was destroyed. He said, people were destroyed. I saw playgrounds full of dead children is the first thing. He saw cars burning and buildings burning and people killing each other in mayhem. And then here was the warning, and it comes to Daniel, what you spoke to me. He said, and Dad, we were in the middle of it, and you were trying to get us out, and you wrecked, and you were killed, Dad, and we were standing there over you, and you were dead, and we didn't know what to do, Dad. And he starts crying. I'm getting chills now. You know, the worst thing for a dad is to think of leaving your wife or kids. We're their covering, you know. We're the men. We want to take care of our kids. And here the Lord is sending us these dreams and these visitations 2 years in a row on at 4:44, 6:44, on 4:4:11 and 4:4:12. You know, the Lord doesn't need to be any clearer. And the Lord rebuked me. And this is where Daniel Dave's word comes in. He said, son, there's no glory to you dying in front of your children and them watching you being violently murdered. You know, Daniel had never heard this dream. And I get here, and Dr. Dave says to me, and I hadn't told him the dream, I just said to him, we were ready to die in America. And Daniel Dave says, what glory or honor is that for you? Do you want your kids to see you violently killed and left without you? Why don't you get out of the danger zone and raise your kids and leave a legacy? And I was like, so now you know why that meant something to me when you said that to me the other night. And those were two of the most prolific visitations and dreams we've had, and now you've confirmed to
You know,
me.
John, that is so important, too. I have a lot of people, multiplied responses to what's coming. And you really only have two decisions. It's fight or flight. Fight or flight. And I'm a fighter myself. I'm a true fighter. So I know what I would do if I were to get into a situation. I'm going to fight. I have a problem. The Word of God says that a good man will leave an inheritance for his children's children. And I understand the calling of God and the anointing of God that's on my children's lives. And if the calling is on them, it's going to be on their kids. And it's up to me as a good man to make sure there's something to leave for my kids. And if I need to get them to safety so that they can move forward, learn their calling, and then move forward into the nations, that's my call. That's my responsibility before God to honor and love what He's invested into me, to my family, and to my children. And so, you know, if it was just up to me, bless God, I'm a Texan. You know, I sit out here and, you know, fight the best of them, you know. And but this thing is bigger. It's bigger than just going out in a blaze of glory. This thing is about the next generation moving forward to seize the kingdom by force. And if I subject my kids because of my pride and my need to be a fighter, then I'm not honoring the gift of God that He has placed in them and put under my care. So I just don't see any glory in dying needlessly. If you have been given gold, silver, and precious stones put in your children's lives, and it's our duty to get them in position and get them planted in the right ground so they can prosper.
Yeah, right. And me to not wait until and stay there until there was chaos and try to get out. I think you mentioned that earlier. There's people that aren't going to get out because they're going right. to wait. Or you said that, mm-hmm. Eric. They're not going to make it, and their kids. They're going to see their kids die, or their kids are going to see them die, or something because they waited too long. And that's all I needed was for my son to be sobbing and heaving in my arms over a dream. What if it really happened? And I'm like, oh, I'm getting out of here, and I'm going to take my children and my wife to a safe place.
You know, and you're not just running away, you're running too, because you realize that God has a purpose for you to leave.
Well, and then I have a mandate from the Lord to steward these children.
Exactly. And it's not just stewarding their physical well-being, it's their spiritual well-being too.
Absolutely.
And I can tell you this too, since we've left the States, the spiritual well-being of my family has been multiplied exponentially as far as the rebellion that they're infected with from being in America, because this is just the environment that we have lived in. It's a selfish, self-centered lifestyle that we all are just pursuing our dreams, you know, and this is not contagious, or it's not a good environment if you want to serve the Lord, because you have a very impure mixture of motives. Eric, you had something you want to share.
Yeah, you know, one thing is God wants us to be patriotic to His kingdom, not
yes.
patriotic to America. God, that's the way the Lord has always worked. And one thing is tying into what John was saying here is that we were really going through the process and all excited about moving. We had made our decision. And then one, you know, like it happens to all of us, we got some cold feet for a while. And we were just sitting there discussing one night about 7 o'clock at night after about 5 weeks after Epiphany. And we were thinking, well, you know, we're just going to back off here. You know, that's maybe a bad decision. We like America. We like Babylon. We like all the comforts of life here. And so we're going through all that, and my wife was really having a hard time, and all of a sudden, after about an hour of talking like this, you could feel it in the atmosphere. I got a phone call. It was my mother. She said, Eric, I have the fear of the Lord all over me. And I said, what's going on, Mom? She said, I didn't obey the Lord one other time in my life. And she said, this time I have to obey the Lord. I told the Lord I would obey Him and telling you what He told me to tell you. And I said, well, what did He tell you to tell me? And she said, you are leaving America to save your life. And I'm like, whoa, it hit us like a ton of bricks. And we prayed about it, and we really felt, I felt the anointing, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. We had just been sitting there for over an hour discussing why we weren't going to leave. And my mother calls me, and my mother is not like that, but my mother is a woman of God. And so when that happened, we knew that the Lord was really saying, this is the decision I'm approving of. And like Stephen was saying, God has something for you to go to. You're just not leaving to escape. You're leaving to go to the work of his kingdom.
You know, and I've seen this happen a number of times with people that have actually come here during the last 3 years, is that they have come, but they haven't plugged in. And I was over at your house, Daniel, one night, and I was talking to your wife, and the Lord spoke to me as I was talking with her, and he said, just as useless as those appliances are on the countertop over there if they're not plugged in,
right. Yep.
You are as useless to me and my kingdom if you don't plug in. If you don't plug your purpose and plug into your purpose and your calling of why you're here, you're just as useless as those appliances are sitting on the countertop without being plugged in.
Wow.
And I found that happening time and time again now with people that just want to hunker down and stay at home, and they don't get meeting people and get connected. They end up going back. And this is a sad thing that the purpose was already being manifested. They got over through the wall of water. And they're walking through the wilderness. They've got manna falling from heaven, and they start looking back, and they start thinking about leeks and garlic. And the honest truth is, if the Lord called you out because of what he's shown you, leeks and garlic are only a memory. They're not real, because Egypt was a wasteland.
Right.
There was nothing to go back to. They were going to go back to their memories. And you can't. This is why I describe it, is that when you come where God wants you to go, I say my ship is down there. It's a pile of rubble. It's a burnt wreckage out in the harbor by David. Because I burned my boat when I arrived here. I'm not going back. I'd rather die than go back. I'll go forward if the Lord wants me to go further forward, but I'm not going back. My ship is burned in the harbor right now.
Yeah. That's what Elijah did, right? Burned his plow and chopped up his oxen and set fire to his plow and sacrificed the oxen and the plow. Said, I'm done being a farmer. I'm
well,
go
this is how
be a prophet
important.
Of God.
This is how important it is to God, to all of us, to fulfill the calling He has on us, because it's all about souls. It's all about lives, about touching nations, about changing. You know, changed lives change lives, and He's looking right. for changed lives that He can use. And if He's called you out, that means there's a great purpose and a plan, and you're a piece of the puzzle that somebody else has to be connected to. And if you're not in position, what are the souls and the lives that are going to be lost because of your rebellion, your disobedience, and your lack of trust? What is it going to cost another man, not just you? I don't want to stand before the Lord one day and have me be accountable for another man's soul because of my rebellion and disobedience. That's not going to be a fun place to be.
Right.
I would just want to say something. I really feel this is from the Lord to somebody out there. There might be multiple people out there, but you've taken your hand off the plow because I have to be responsible. I have to make a living. I have to do all these things. And God is saying, I called you to put your hand to the plow, and God's giving you another chance. He's speaking to your heart right now.
Yes, this is the time route that you got to grab a hold of the plow and don't look back.
And don't be afraid. I want to say that, too, because I've been on the other end of this microphone until today, listening to this program, knowing I was called to leave, but not knowing how to do it. And I'm just saying to every one of you, it's normal to be afraid. It's normal to be confused. It's normal to be depressed. It's normal to have pushback from your family members and friends thinking you're crazy. There's not one person here at this table or that I've met on this trip that didn't go through all kinds of trouble, hardship, fear, confusion getting here. They just kept putting one foot in front of the other. Brother, sister, listening to me, of course you can't do this. That's why you need God. With God, you can do this. I've been afraid like you are. I've been confused like you are. I've been up against the Red Sea like you are. And I'm sitting here in Boquete, Panama now, not because I'm great or smart or witty or have lots of money or anything, because I follow God, face my fear, and move forward one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other. Put one foot in front of the other. Turn the world off. Separate yourself from Babylon. Be still and listen to God. Get with your wife or your husband, if you have a wife or husband, and pray and be still. And when God shows you one little thing, do it. And then the next and the next. You'll get here.
You know, God's word is a lamp to our feet. And that lamp was literally a handheld lamp that really literally only gave you one enough light for one yeah. step
That's right.
ahead of you. And so God's instructions to that, to us, many times will be just that. It's just one step at a time. It's just an act of obedience. And that act of obedience will lead to the next act of obedience. And that's what God's word is to us. It's like a little light. They'll give us the next step, but we have to be obedient to take step one. What is he saying to do to you right now? What's in your hand? What is God saying right now to you?
Amen. Amen. I want to share some lyrics to a song that that I think wraps up this whole program today. Keith Green, a great legend in the Christian world, who he put it down on us. Mm-hmm. And he's got a song called Jesus Commands Us to Go. It's interesting that he's not asking. This isn't the great request. It's the great command. And if he's our king, we really got to take a look at this. Is Jesus commanding me to go? Listen to these words. I probably can't get through all of them here, but listen, I believe these words tell the heart of God, what God is saying and has been saying to America, who some point in the past we said no, and we said we're too comfortable to go. But here's the words. Jesus commands us to go, but we go the other way. So he carries the burden alone while his children are busy at play, feeling so called to stay. Oh, how God grieves and believes that the world can't be saved unless the ones he's appointed obey his command and his stand for the world that he loved more than life. Oh, he died and he cries out tonight. Jesus commands us to go. It should be the exception if we stay. It's no wonder we're moving so slow when his church refuses to obey, feeling so called to stay.
Well, what a way to end the program.
Yeah.
This is a message that all of us have to hear now. Are you commanded? What are you commanded to do? Well, the greatest commandment is just to obey. Whatever God says to do, we need to obey. Eric, I just want to give you a couple moments here just to share just kind of maybe a last final word just to encourage people out there of what it takes. You know, sometimes it's not an easy road, but
no, it is not an easy road. But you know what? God loves you. He's with you. He's never left you nor forsaken you. And you know what? The same Jesus that worked with the apostles and with his people all throughout history, he's working with you right now. All you have to do is ask of him and he will give you the nations. Ask of him. He'll help you with the little steps that you need to take. He will show you how to be obedient. You may even think, well, Lord, what do I do? He will show you what to do. Each step of the way, God's hands on your life. All he wants you to do is humble yourself and say, God, I need to hear from you. I want to walk with you. I want to take my relationship with you to a whole new level. And out of that relationship, God will take you to the place that he has for you in your life.
That's right. And John, you have just a couple more words that maybe you can say to, just to encourage people, because you're in the midst of the move, the transition yourself right
sure.
now.
Sure. Pray for divine appointments and expect them. We came here. I met a wonderful brother, David Hatton, from Panama Connection Real Estate, who we just came and asking for divine connections. And he, his great brother in the Lord, taking us to great restaurants, great properties, been to both the church gatherings with us, and I didn't even know this brother, and I've just been here with him for a week and feel like we've been brothers all our lives, and the Lord has divine appointments for you here or wherever he's called you
to. That's right. And that's what I want to encourage you. Just pray, find out God's will for your life and follow him, and he'll be there with you.
We want to thank you for joining us for this special edition of True News. Please continue to pray for host Rick Wiles, who is in Branson, Missouri, to tape an upcoming appearance on The Jim Baker Show. Rick will be returning to the True News microphone on Thursday. Don't forget to find out the latest news headlines, archive broadcast, and how you can help support this broadcast ministry by visiting the True News website at www.truenews.com. That's TRUNEWS.com. I'm your announcer, Bob Bierman, sitting in for Rick Wiles. God bless and thank you for listening today to True News.